Talking about transforming grace. And I think we're ending this series today, but we'll see how it goes. Grace is awesome, and it is transforming. Grace, again, is God's kindness. It's His generosity. And He does that. He pours it out because of His unconditional love. Aren't you glad today? Unconditional love. We can't earn it based on works. And we can't be disqualified because of sin. And that's good news because I've missed it, and I know you have. And it doesn't disqualify us from God's grace. Grace wipes out our past sins. Grace enables you to grow into the image of Christ. Grace entitles you to all the blessings. How many know there's a lot of blessings in this book? Grace entitles us to every promise is yours. And then one thing I love and really get excited about is grace helps you, enables you, empowers you to do the impossible. How many have some impossible situations? Impossible circumstances. Maybe an impossible vision, plan that you just think in yourself that there's just no way it's going to come to pass. Well, I got good news for you. God's grace will help you, will enable you, will empower you to do the impossible. And our job is to believe. It's to receive it. We're saved by grace through faith, healed by grace through faith, prospered by grace through faith, and we're transformed. The changes, any changes that we've had in our lives is not because our own great effort and our great willpower. It's been because of His grace. But I got good news for you. That grace is not just for the day that you were saved. His grace is available every day. And the great changes that we've experienced in the past, the glory days of grace are not in the past. The glory days of grace are in our future. They are still to come. Now, I loved last week's message that Susie ministered on Zacchaeus and the grace of God in his life and the dramatic transformation that occurred. And we've kind of made the shift in this series talking about God's grace towards us, to us, and then we started shifting towards God's grace working through us. And grace, it certainly we need to look to God and we receive His love, but we receive grace also through people, through others. God uses people to show His love and His goodness. And that's really what we're looking for here at Good News Church when we talk about our vision about empowering people to give life, is we're looking for that transformation in people that were changed so much that we just can't help to start giving grace to others. And that's what I get excited about. I get excited about hearing, and you know, I love any testimony. I love testimonies of healing. I love testimonies of provision. I love testimonies of what God's doing in your family and relationships. But I love it when I hear the testimonies of people of Good News Church, when God's used you to be gracious towards someone else, when God's used you to help transform another life. And I feel like the abundant life in John 10:10 is not about getting, it's about giving. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's really true. It's such a blessing. Life is so exciting when you get over and you make that turn. It's really what life is all about. All right, so let's look over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. You know, the early church is our standard. It's something that it's in the scriptures for us to give us something to shoot for. But the Bible also says that the latter house will be greater than the former. The Bible also says in Ephesians that Jesus is coming back not to a weak, defeated, broken down, barely getting by church. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Now, we're not there, but I believe we're moving towards that. So as I read these verses in Acts, it talks about the early church. This is the standard. This is something that we're aiming for. But not only to hit the standard, but then to go above and beyond. And grace is going to enable us to do it. It's not going to be any great preacher or some kind of charisma or, you know, some kind of a program, fancy program. No, it's going to be God. It's going to be God working in our midst, enabling us to do it. So let's look at Acts 2, verse 43 says this. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I just love that. That's the way the church should be. We should be adding daily those being saved. We ought to be a place that we're a light in a dark world. We ought to be a place where we're attracting people, lost people, hurting people, whether they're believers or unbelievers. We ought to be a place that's accepting of whatever color and race and background and education and financial status. I mean, certainly if we're individuals. Now, who's been touched by grace in their life? If you've been saved, you have been. Hopefully more than that. And so, shouldn't the church be made up of people touched by grace? Shouldn't this be a grace place? Shouldn't this be a place where the grace of God resides and where it permeates every part of this ministry? Shouldn't we find grace in the nursery and the preschool and the youth and among the ushers and the sound guys, among the pastors, among the members? Shouldn't grace be found there? So if we're saying that we're a grace place, then we should be a place of transformation. We should be a place of changed lives. That's why I love this cardboard testimony. It's a powerful service where the people of Good News Church, it's not a big testimony as far as in words, but you see what God has done and you see what God is doing. He is still in the transformation business. He is still changing lives. He is still setting people free. He is still delivering people. I'm really spitting today. I'll stay up here for a little bit. Maybe I need to get a little drink of water. But the early church, they had the grace of God, and they had the results from that grace. Now let's look at Acts 4. Acts 4, looking, now this is our standard. This is where we're going. We're not there, but we're on the, hopefully on the road. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Now that is interesting, and you know, that is difficult to do. How many know that's difficult? How many people here are married? How many know it's difficult to have one heart, one soul with two people? And then you add kids to the mix and it really gets challenging. But then you got that, then you got extended family. So we're talking about having that at a church of 300-400 people. How's that going to happen? Well, I'll tell you one way it's going to happen. It's going to happen when we got a cause. It's going to happen when we have something bigger than ourselves and something where we're going to need to believe God It is so huge and so impossible that we're going to need to believe God for it to come to pass. It's going to take faith. How do you get people of different, you know, colors and backgrounds to come together? I mean, we've got one of the most diverse churches in all of Augusta. And it's been no strategy or kind of plan, because people have come and talked to us. How do you do it? I mean, it's been that way since the very beginning. And so when you have diversity, you've got to have great love. Otherwise, it's going to be a bar fight. You know what I mean by a bar fight? Bar fights are the worst, because you're drunk and you don't feel that first punch. So, it gets bad. You really get hurt in a bar fight. Okay, well, that's all I can share with your precious ears. I can't. You're so delicate. The early church had something called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, in a nutshell, was preach the gospel to every creature and raise up disciples. Train them and teach them to share the gospel, be a follower of Christ. Now, what we've done here at Good News Church, we've not gotten away from the Great Commission. We've just taken the Great Commission and put it into our words for 2012. And the people of Good News Church. So our vision is, we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers to reach their world and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ, or the gospel. And then what we do, and see, we got to keep this before us. What we do is right there. What this church, why this church matters, why we're here, is we're empowering people to give life. We're not here to raise up good moral people, although we want to do that. We're not here to just so we have someone to go out to eat with, although that's good too. Or to make you feel good, or to have a safe place. No, there's a purpose and a reason why we're here. And see, the early church, they had their purpose, and they had the results, because they came together around a cause. And I don't know, you know, outside, and I hear about what's happening in church world, people have got off on so many different things of what our cause is. Our cause is not Israel. Our cause is not the United States government. Our cause is not this upcoming election. Our cause is not the environment. I mean, these are all good things. Our cause is not this building. Our cause is not programs. And you can lose sight of things. And we've got to stay focused, because there's a whole lot of voices out there. And we need to hear from God. So they were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed were his own, but they had all things in common. They just came together. Overflowed in their generosity. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look at this. And great grace was upon them all. Everybody say, great grace. And look at the result of that great grace. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now let's look at a couple of these words here for great grace. Great grace. The first word is great. in the Greek is the word megas, M-E-G-A-S. Is there a word that we're familiar with in there? Mega. Mega means huge, massive, enormous. It's the same word that used to describe the storm in Mark chapter 4. Remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the disciples were perishing? They're freaking out and Jesus is asleep in the boat. It just describes that storm as a great storm. It also describes it as great calm. But it was a hurricane type storm. It wasn't just like a little drizzle and a little bit of a wind. It was a mega storm. That's the kind of grace it's talking about here. Huge, enormous, gigantic grace was upon them all. Isn't that amazing? And then the second word is grace. It's the Greek word charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. And again, it's all the things we've talked about. This word is all the things, encompasses everything we've been talking about in grace. The blessings, the forgiveness, the empowerment, all these different things. But, I have the luxury to be able to study more. And when they use these different words, there's even different meanings within the meanings in particular places. And when it uses this word in Acts chapter 4, it has a specific definition, a specific part of grace. It's not just the overall grace. It's a grace that we show toward each other. Towards each other. It's a benevolence. It's a kindness. It's a generosity. It says loving kindness. I like that. Loving kindness. So when it says there's great grace upon them, meaning there was great love towards each other. There was great benevolence, great generosity. And then, so now you can understand why it says there was no lack. If every member of the church, because what happens is all of us have abundance in some area of our lives. We all have gifts and resources. You may not feel like you do, but I mean, you need the revelation from God. But everybody, and Susie talked about that on Wednesday. We all have resources, an abundance of resources. And the way it's supposed to work is, if you're lacking, my extra supply is supposed to make up for your lack. And you can see the power of that. If you have a group of people that understand this and are sensitive to the Spirit of God, you can understand how there can be no lack. When there's great grace in demonstration. Now, wouldn't it be fun if we had no lack at Good News Church? Wouldn't it be fun if none of the members have any kind of lack? What kind of services will we have? Wouldn't it be fun as the biggest worry we had every week is we had so much resources, we had to pray about where to distribute them. That's really what the situation. I mean, they're not talking about. They didn't all giving and if you don't give, we're going to go under. We got none of that talk here. It was people coming together with a greater purpose, and they rallied and they came together. So let's talk about this great grace. There's a whole lot of verses I can use. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them. Turn over your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 2. I mean, do we want this? Do we want to be a church that we're adding to the church daily, those being saved? Do we want to be a church where there's miracles and signs and wonders? Do we want to be a church where we can bring family and friends and lost people to? Do we want to be a church of transformation? Or do we want to be a church of life killers? Hurt people, offend people. Let's look over in Philippians 2, verse 1. Before I say that, church should be a place where we practice grace. It's a place where we ought to be able to make some mistakes, where we ought to be trained and grow in it. Because the way we feel about it here, this is not the game right here. The game is out there in your world. This is practice for the game. So we should be practicing grace. We should be learning about grace and being trained in grace. All right, Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. That's not easy. One accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own, for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, I've got a in our backyard, we've got a plant called the creeping fig. It's one of those vines that when you plant on your house, it just grows up over it. It just covers everything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Kind of, you know, like ivy, something like that. And this creeping fig, no offense to Susie and Martha, this creeping fig is so frustrating because it grows so fast, it covers windows and the eaves of the house, and it tears up my paint on my house because when you pull it off, it takes the paint off. So I do my best to kill the creeping fig. But it's like that commercial, when I go to sleep at night, it's just out there growing. Well, the creeping fig that you got to watch out for in the church is selfishness. Selfishness. And you got to fight that. Selfishness is lacking consideration for others. Selfishness is about me. It's about my pleasure, my profit. And I'm telling you, it's the spirit of the world. And there's so many, you know, the Bible says they mingle with the world and they learn their ways and they become a trap to them. I mean, so many things we do at work, TV, internet, family, so many of the things. It's so much about selfishness. And we've got to guard this body here. We've got to guard ourselves against selfishness because we teach and talk about church. Now, I'm talking to the members here because I understand that there's people that are babies in Christ. There's people that don't know Jesus. And they're, you know, a baby. I mean, we're not expecting a whole lot out of a baby. I mean, you're basically, I mean, they are selfish. But you're nurturing them, you're loving them, you're being patient with them, you're caring for them, but you don't want them to be a baby for their entire life. I'm glad I'm not changing Harry and Grayson's diapers today. That would be a disaster. I'd have to hire people to do that. I mean, they were babies, and it was cute for a while, but they got to grow up. So I understand that. Don't get me wrong there. But shouldn't, you know, the members of the church, shouldn't be church, shouldn't it be about other people? Shouldn't we have the attitude, this is not about me, this is about others? It says having the interest, looking out the interest for others. If we're going to be a grace place, we're going to have to care about people. We're going to have to care, meaning if you care about somebody, you learn their name. If you care about somebody, you want to know their story. If you care about somebody, you want to know whether they're hurting or whether they're rejoicing. And you know, in this world, it just seems, the scripture says in Matthew, it says, in the last days, it says the love will grow cold. And I've really seen that over the last several years, especially. I mean, I've definitely, been a trend over the last 17 years of ministry, but certainly in the last few years, I've just seen a coldness. I'm talking about not just in the world, but in with believers. A coldness in marriages, a coldness in families. And you gotta watch, because it's creeping in. It's trying to creep into our lives, and we've got to resist it. And we've got to have the attitude. If everybody has the attitude, I don't give a damn. What are we going to have? If we got an attitude that I don't care, well, nobody cares for me. Well, if we all have that attitude, we aren't going to have a church. At least I'm not going to be pastoring it. But looking out and caring for each other, and I understand the coldness, but we've got to fight that. And we got to say, hey, if I'm a member of this church, I'm going to care about the people I worship with. Because we're a body. And if one of us is suffering, we're all suffering. And if one of us is doing well, we should be rejoicing. But it's got to be a collective effort. That we have interest and we have care. How do you show care? Look at him in the eye. These are just basic things my mama taught me. Look him in the eye. Speak to him. Smile. Write him a note. Do something for him. Cook him a meal. Take him out to Starbucks. There's a whole thousands of ways we can show care. But don't get into the mode where, well, it's all about me. And no one's doing anything for me. What does the Bible say if you want friends? If he says, does it say, oh, I want friends, so I need to wait until they approach me? It says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. I'm telling you, there's many people in church, they've got a look on their face, don't approach me. Nobody here today, but I've had people, members of Good News Church, I'll watch them up front, and during the meet and greet time, they're just standing there like this, and they have this look on their face that says, don't come near me. And you know what? Nobody does. You've got to be, do you have a grace face? And it's a willingness. And you can get sloppy in these things. It can happen to me. Any one of us. But this is a place where we pray. And if we're not doing it here, what are we doing out there? If this is the practice, certainly we're failing in the game. If we're not even doing the practices, you don't practice well, you're not going to play well. But having care for each other, just take a moment and look around at the folks that are here. Did you know that they are your brothers and sisters? And I know we have natural brothers and sisters, but we're not going to have natural brothers and sisters in heaven. We're going to have each other. And so... do we have that kind of value? And I know we do stupid things. I know we say and do stupid things. But couldn't we just give them a little grace? Certainly in here. And I see that with people, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but that tendency just to draw back. To draw back. And then things start reinforces why you've drawn back. The enemy will see to that. You know, Peter just had to step out of the boat. I mean, and walk on the water. He saw Jesus, and that's what we got to do. We got to say, okay, Jesus cares, Jesus loves, and even though it looks turbulent out there, we're going to have to just step out there, even if we might get hurt. Jesus will reach out there and get you. But you've got to open your heart to care for people before the grace will come upon you to work through you. He's not going to force it on you. You're not going to do it. It's all about willingness. Is this okay? Anybody want to run for the doors here? Let's go over to Ephesians 4. Oh, you're going to love Ephesians 4. I could just read the verse and we can go home. But I'll make a couple comments. Ephesians 4, verse 29. This is the Message translation. Oh, good gracious. Lord, help us. Verse 29 says, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps." We need to put this on our mirror. No, actually, we need to tattoo it on our hand. I mean, I don't understand a whole lot of tattoos, but I could understand this tattoo. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break His heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another. That's just a good word. Just be gentle with one another. Why do we got to be so hard? Why do we got to be so harsh with each other? And for all you single men, women love the sensitive man. We're in the age of the sensitive man. Come on. Be gentle. Sensitive. Now look at this. Forgive one another. As quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. One of the places where we can get really sloppy in grace is our words. And weariness shows up in your mouth. You've heard that phrase, halt. You know, never have a big talk with somebody or a big conversation when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. It's just not going to go well. But yet, how many times do we do that? That's the time we want to have the big talk. And what happens is you say things you don't mean. You may have felt them, but you didn't mean them. Until you come to your senses later. Said, "Oh my God, what did I just say?" But sloppiness, we just get sloppy in our words. Sloppy in the way we talk about people. Now, let's just say we're at home and we're sitting around the table and we just start picking people in the church. Oh my goodness. Start picking people in the church and start going through and we start critiquing them. Start making fun of them. Start talking about their weaknesses. And for a moment, because a lot of times later on we feel slimy about it, but for a moment we feel better about ourselves. But the reality is, when you tear down your brothers and sisters, you are tearing down yourself. And don't tell me when you talk about people like that, that it doesn't affect your behavior the next time you see them. There is nothing hidden that won't be revealed, the Bible says. So we could use a little bit of graciousness in our words. We could use a little graciousness. I mean, when's the last time you complimented somebody? I'm not talking about making up compliments. But we are so starving because it's a graceless world. Anybody just says one little nice thing to us, it's like, well, duh. How about we want to give life? How about we start saying some gracious things to people? How about we just start doing kind things for people? All right, let's talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Oh, that's a great subject. Forgive, when you don't forgive somebody, you just hang the debt over them. And you want that debt paid, and you're not going to release them until the debt is paid. And of course, it's got to be paid in a greater way than how they hurt you. But what does that do to a body? What does it do to a marriage when you have unforgiveness? What does that do to Good News Church? And I'm telling you right now, we have people in this church that can't stand each other. The Bible says fallen from grace. They can't stand each other, won't speak to each other. And some I've even talked to them about it, and they tell me, no, they won't do it. Now, I'm not saying we all have to be golfing buddies. You know, we got so many people. I mean, we can't all be golfing buddies. But can't we lay down our differences for a cause higher than whatever this petty little thing that we're mad at each other about? Can't we just get it resolved? Can't we just be adults and go talk to each other and get it? Isn't the Bible all about forgiveness and reconciliation? Isn't that the power of the gospel? Shouldn't we be people adding to graciousness? We've got enough of the unforgiveness out there. Let's just say that we're going to be a forgiveness zone right here. And I just challenge you. And no, I tell you what. I beg you to let these things go with people. And if the Spirit of God leads you, I beg you, go get it resolved and work it out. Even if it takes 15 visits. Don't you give up. Because we can't go on to what God has if we have all this junk in the body. Because we're hurting ourselves. Division. We can't have division. And they've talked over and over about one accord. But my question to you is, what? Now I'm sweating, I'm spinning, everything's going on here. What are we doing to bring one accord? We all want this great thing. What are we doing? What's our part? Well, Pastor, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I don't have the big job at the church. It doesn't really matter whether I come or go. See, you don't value your supply. You don't have to have a title here to make a difference and to be a life giver. We don't all have to play golf together, but we are brothers and sisters. And we're going to be in heaven one day together. And so we might as well learn how to get along down here. But what about the cause? See, I just can't have things with people. And if I stand here today, I don't have one person at Good News Church that I have unforgiveness towards. I just can't afford it. I've got to think bigger. I've got to think about the body of Christ. I've got to think about the city of Augusta. I've got to think about the vision and mission. I can't afford to be in strife and in offense and bitterness with you. But see, that's just the way I think. But we just think, oh, it doesn't really matter what's going on with us. It's not going to affect the body. Hey, it's hurting the body. Your little deal. I'm not making light of it. But in the big scheme of things, in the problems and situations I know of, and the other churches and pastors, in the little scheme, I mean, your little thing, it's a little thing. And the devil has made it into this big, huge mountain. But my Bible says in Mark 11, we're supposed to speak to that mountain. And it's so interesting, in Mark 11, it also talks about forgiveness right in there. Isn't that interesting? It's okay today? No, I don't care, but try to just break it up every once in a while. We're going into one next week. And it's really so much bigger than, I mean, it's so amazing how God does things. He can kind of get you into things, and it turns out to be much bigger than you could even imagine. And that is what's happening here. Now, next week, we're going to have communion. Next week, we're going to bring in new members. I just give you a challenge to see what we can do this week. We need to work some things out. We need to do some searching of our hearts. We need to go back to what's the purpose of Good News Church and what's my part. And let's start committing ourselves. Hey, you know, it's 12:25. Lord, stop the clock. Did it stop, guys? Or go ahead and pull the battery out. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible. But we've got an awesome opportunity here. We're poised. But these things can't happen unless we have a willingness. The Bible says He gives grace to the humble. He resists the pride. I just challenge you, let go of it. And if anybody starts talking about one of your brothers and sisters, you just, you know, because if you listen, you're condoning it. Just say, you know, hey, let's change the subject. Start talking about the weather, the Atlanta Braves. I mean, I don't know, whatever. Talk about something else. But if they keep on persisting, you just walk away. Because we can't do that to each other. And imagine, you know, if we had a whole bunch of things cleaned up this week, what kind of service we could have on Sunday. We may be the Sunday we blow the roof off the building. Maybe, you know, in Acts 4, wouldn't that be fun? As long as it just goes somewhere else and maybe lands in the field, doesn't hurt anybody. It says in Acts 4, they were praying together. They were in such harmony and unity. The building shook. Who wants to be a part of that? And how about we just start saying, hey, we're going to be friends with a cause. The founding of this country, I have read extensively. You probably care less about some of the books I've read. But you know, I mean, they would just bore you to tears. Probably like one of my sermons, you know, just bore you to tears. I mean, but these books, I mean, these were amazing people that came together for that Continental Congress. It's in an impossible situation. And they had so many differences. And they came together and wrote that, you know, Declaration of Independence. And just the things they said in there, how they, you know, stake their lives to each other, their property, everything, to each other and for the cause. And they were willing to lay down their differences for the sake of a cause bigger than themselves.
Boy, man, I love that. I love reading about that, about a band of brothers, and about people, you know, fighting in different wars, and that they were able to come together, and just so many different people, but they had a mission. And I'm praying about this church. I don't like some of the division here. I don't like some of the offense here. I don't like it. I hate it. I don't like the way, you know, some of the things we say about each other, how we treat each other. Now I know there's a whole lot of good happening, and I hear about that, but there's just some things that just need to be changed. And it's got, and instead of pointing our finger at someone else, why don't you say you're the one that's going to change? And I'll tell you, I'll change. I'll lead the pack. And certainly we be patient with each other, and change is messy. It can be messy. But I tell you, grace can overcome all of this. We need to be united right now. We need to be together right now. We don't need to be divided. And hey, I'll just tell you this. If you don't hook up with the vision and the cause here, and there's another church that has it, go there. Go there. I mean, it's okay. We're on the same side. I'm not going to be mad. If you've been here since the beginning of the church, I mean, that's okay. You've got to go somewhere else. I'm not going to be mad because we're on the same team. I'll speak to you if I see you in the street. I'm not going to, you know, turn my head. I'm much bigger than that. I'm just a under-shepherd for the great shepherd. You're not my sheep. This is not my church. This church belongs to God. It's His. And see, we just, and I'm wrapping it up for my 14th close, but it's just going to take, I mean, for the members of the church to say, this is my church. I'm an owner here. I got a stake in this. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand, everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, help us. Lord, have mercy. Jesus. Lord, we're in the midst of one of the most outstanding years of our lives. We're in the midst of astonishing things. And Lord, we just want to get out of the way. It's just time to let go of some things. And as we do, as we open our hearts to you, I just thank you the grace of God comes flooding in. Let's just root out selfishness. Let's just root out this it's about me mentality. And let us come together, Father. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus for one accord here at Good News Church. I'm asking you for one mind, one soul. I'm asking for one. And Lord, you help us do that. Help people, enable people, Father, to work things out. Talk to each other. Be gracious towards each other. Let this be a kind church, a gracious church. Lord, I'm asking for great grace upon us all. And that there'd be no lack. I thank you for it. I give you praise.